Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. Happy New Year. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline. Happy New Year. I have to say it now because you said it. So now I have no choice. I have to wish you Happy New Year.
This is our first episode of the year. And what better way to kick it off than to do something fun for a blue in the hair for the Teen Vogue party. We are creating a third sister album to Folklore and Evermore. Some might have called it Woodvale in a past life. In a past tense, Madeline.
Some of us did. Some of us thought that Woodvale was real, and you still can't explain why there were three scrunchies in the scrunchie pack. Explain that.
You can't explain that to
why
anybody.
Why was there a blue scrunchie there? Explain that.
What was that for? What was it for? We would love to have received a third sister album from Taylor Swift, but unfortunately we didn't. So the way that we created these albums that we have for you today is we've gone through Taylor's existing catalog, excluding everything from Folklore and Evermore, and tried to create our own version of what a third sister album would look like with that. We've also come up with a name and Pinterest boards to do the vibe check of how these albums are going to be. So this is really just us indulging ourselves in a little bit of delusion.
And we love to be delusional. Mm-hmm. Boy, don't we love the delusion. I feel like mine is really based in reality. I feel like mine, and that's part of the delusion, is believing that it's real mm-hmm. and that this could yeah. happen. Mine is like, this is literally what should have happened. And this is what we received in my mind. This happened, so no delusion okay. for
I
me.
Think so
just,
too.
Just truth.
I tried to be realistic. I wasn't trying to do this is no, the Taylor reunion album. If I was being delusional, that's what I would have
yeah,
done.
Yeah, my delusional Taylor record would look completely different from this. I mean, it does have a little bit of my own personal flair and a little bit of personal spark. I think you could definitely recognize that this is something that I made, and this is my idea. This is like my dream album, but it's grounded in reality. And I think that
as
we
it
should have that
be.
Conversation. As it
well, we're
be.
Using all real songs. Let's start there.
So how fake can it be?
We limited ourselves to 13 tracks, or at least I did. Did you? You also did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
it was hard,
perfect.
But
that
I did
was
it.
Really hard. It was so
or at least
hard.
I did.
Once yeah. once I got into the storytelling part of it, I was like, oh no, I need more space. And there's so much to choose. There's a lot of Evermore Folklore coded sounding stuff throughout the discography. But of course, because it's like the nexus of what Taylor Swift is to create Folklore. That was like a creative dream for her. Did you feel the same way when you were looking through all the songs?
Oh, yes. I definitely felt that way when I was looking through all the songs. I mean, mine is kind of like really vibe specific. So unfortunately, something that bothered me about mine, when we'll get into this when we get into it, but I don't have a lot of stuff from the early years just because like mine is so based on a specific emotion that I don't think that she was experiencing when she was very young. I think something happened and it switched in her brain. So that's, it's less about the sound and it's more about the emotion. So if mm-hmm. certain, you didn't put anything for Speak Now in there, well, no, because that was a girl. And we're talking about
And we're talking about a woman. Wow. So, Jinx. That's going to happen more likely than you think because I took the briefest glimpse at Madeline's Pinterest board and saw that we have pulled the same image. So that is insane. I agree. I also struggled to find places for older songs to go. I think the direction of the emotion that I went in has its roots in an early Taylor. So there were a couple of things I could pull out. But when I was like listening through the playlist and seeing like, would this make sense as an album sonically, cohesively, as Taylor would like to say, right. I had to really get rid of a lot of the stuff that I would have liked to put on there thematically because it just sounded jarring.
Honestly, I cut a couple of true darlings from my playlist and it really hurt me. And we'll get into which ones I had to cut when we get into it. But it was literally like Sophie's Choice. It was like I was killing my own child right in front of my eyes.
It was really bad.
It was really, really bad.
Why don't we look at each other's Pinterest boards and try and maybe like guess a little bit the direction of what we're going in?
So yeah, especially because I changed the title of mine. So you really
yeah, you
don't
know my title. She knows my okay. title. You have to pretend that you don't Let's know look. It, okay? All right, I'm looking at Madeline's. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of blue. I'm seeing losing him was blue like I had never known. I think that we have, unfortunately for us, gone in a very similar direction.
Oh my God. Zach, I'm scared. I thought you were going to be doing something completely different.
Same.
This is really, really, really
This is actually, I'm speechless. This has silenced me.
Oh my God. Cause you know what? You know what's really funny about this is that when I was looking at mine, I was like, oh, everybody's going to be like, this is so midnights. And I got like a few midnights pictures in my suggested images, like, oh, you added all these, you should add these. And I'm looking and you actually said, yeah, I'll add the midnights pictures.
I said they'll be there.
That's the same mind wavelength that we were on. Uh-oh. Well, no, uh-oh. This is going to be interesting because even though I think we picked a lot of the same pins and the same images, I still think we're going in a radically different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that.
What I'm getting from yours is I'm getting really like a Hoaxian vibe to this. I'm getting a real...
It's only because you know me. I mean, it's only because
you know me. I've been whittled down to the very last bare fragments of my bones and
my broken drum, you've beaten my heart.
Kill myself.
And I think we should talk about it. And I think we should have that conversation about how you beat the drum and now my heart is broken. Nobody's talking about it. I will. Mm-hmm. I'm brave. Mm-hmm. Looking at yours... Let me just try and like erase my own thoughts about some of these pictures because it's like kind of similar to mine. So I'm like, okay, let's erase and let's think. Okay. So I'm kind of thinking in my brain, perhaps if Midnights was more direct, maybe like if Midnights was the Third Sister record, instead of being Midnights and instead of being like the pop moment, maybe this is what it would be like. Is that kind of close to what's going on here?
Because I love the idea. I love the idea, but that's not, that wasn't my idea.
Okay.
It's a better idea than what I had.
Well.
But it's a good idea. Now is our time to explain ourselves. So since we're talking about mine, why don't I start? I wanted to call it the first snow without him, but I just wanted to call it maybe the first snow and all lowercase, but of course. And this really is about thematically that first chilly, chilly winter. She's in her New York City apartment. She's living there. She's rotting away in her castle up above the streets of New York City. This is about, you know, I like how when she plays with seasons and talks about seasonality and how that corresponds with her feelings. I don't think she does it that much. And I think that Folklore and Evermore are both like, I guess Evermore is a winter album, but I was kind of like, what would the very like the blackest part of winter, the darkest, most frostbitten moment, what would that look like? And it was about sinking into a really terrible feeling of missing someone.
Exactly. No, I get that. I get that exactly. That's exactly what I get from the Pinterest board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've displayed it right in front of me. And it's honestly, it's not similar to mine. Like I knew it wouldn't be just because the images are similar. Also, can we talk about, cause we have this picture on both of ours. Let me find
AI.
It. It's the one.
I know which
it's
picture
AI,
you're talking about.
Right? And I was
AI.
Looking at it and I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to do AI and I don't want to use AI.
I had the same
Taylor,
thought.
But it's just so the stupid. Perfect picture and I
it
had
is.
To use it. There wasn't a similar one that was like good enough to replace it.
For
but
a second,
really,
I was like, is this an outtake from Cardigan, like in the water? And then I was like, no. It's
no,
too high quality
it's,
to be that.
It's AI. The first comment on the pin was, that's Taylor Swift. And I was like, but no, maybe
no,
it
not.
Could be somebody else that just kind of looks like her. Very anti-AI. But that was a moment where I was like, it exists already.
We've
so
been
I'm just
going
to pop it into my little area over here. And it's, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's just going to go into my little dungeon. So my titles are humiliating. This is like really embarrassing. I'm really embarrassed for what I have to give up, but I'm happy that you decided I'm not going to go the route that was being like the path that was being laid by Folklore and Evermore. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be similar. Unfortunately for me, I was very committed to the bit. So mine are, I don't like my titles. Maybe they would grow on me if this was a real album. I'm like so embarrassed. I don't want to say what they are. So let me kind
say
of
them.
Explain what it is first before I say any kind of a title. So when I was sitting down to make it, first of all, I made this album based on a playlist that I already had that already existed. And the name of that playlist was, I knew if I was going to make an album, it was going to be based on this playlist. And the playlist that I had was called Taylor Blair Witch Swift. So it's already all of the songs that are kind of like witchy in nature, dark in theme. Most of it was post-Reputation, obviously, because that's just kind of the way that we're working. I reworked it. I took things like Look What You Made Me Do off. That's not there anymore. That used to be there because that's not going to work anymore. But what I was thinking was, Okay, I kind of made it like if Reputation was a sister album to Folklore Evermore. So what it is it's a profoundly like, you know, sad album about how she thinks she's never going to find anybody and nobody can ever like live this life with her and nobody can ever really be with her. I'll just give you this spoiler. The opening track of the album is The Prophecy. So let's start there. So that's kind of like how it starts.
But and then that's secretly, the closing track of mine.
You see how it all connects? It's cyclical. This is one album after the other.
So silly.
So my major themes of the album are the ocean. And I thought this was an interesting thread to kind of follow because like I feel like a lot of the oceanic albums that we see are kind of mostly like happy. Like think 1989, think Endless Summer Vacation, think Radical Optimism or whatever you'd like to call that album. Most of them are like beachy and like, oh, this is my summer and I'm going to do this. But sometimes I don't like the ocean. I think it's kind of scary. So when I think about the ocean, I kind of think of it as like almost a representation of like anger and like dark and deep and mysterious. So that's kind of like the tone that I was using. Like it's very angry, but it's also very beautiful and it's also very romantic. So that I needed to tell you that before I told you my titles because they're terrible, but there's a reason why they are. So my first terrible title, this is so embarrassing. My first terrible title is Driftwood.
Okay? I don't like that. Listen, what's wrong with that?
I don't like it because I feel like it gives This Is My Bungalow on the Beach in Malibu.
Right. And that's not what I'm seeing from the Pinterest board. Pinterest board, I'm seeing the ocean is going to drown me. And so there's creatures there.
The second one that I came up with was Deep Water, which I actually thought was kind of better because it's very mysterious. Mm-hmm. And then also I have two terrible ones, but I thought they sounded like Taylor might call this album that. So my first one is For Sure, Foreshore. It rhymes.
It does.
Conversation.
Taylor Swift would like that.
Yeah. Oh, she would. And then I also have Along Shore, which is exactly what it sounds like. Very like
I kind of like that one.
That one's nice, right? That one might sit and percolate for a while and we could really see how that would kind of come to fruition. So that's kind of like why my titles are terrible. But we don't know that. They could be good.
We should return to your titles after we hear the track list and then decide who and what was going to happen. So how should we do this? Should I go first? Should you go first?
Yeah, you should go first.
Okay. Go first. So the first note without him, I mean, it also is kind of what you were, when you were spitting about The Prophecy, I was like, that is kind of what mine is about too. It's like, I think on the Prophecy gets slotted in and goes unnoticed on Torture Poets because we have So High School, we know that it's not true. But let's just, for example, imagine that it stopped there. But that was the latest thought about where we were going to be headed as Taylor Swift, the writer. So I like this concept of an album because I think it allows us to jump straight into that KMS vibe. I have been heartbroken so much that I think my heart is so broken it can never be healed to be broken again. And I think that the Folk Evermore concept gave a really wide latitude for like diverse feelings all over it, you know, because it covered a lot of ground. Like with Evermore, we have Marjorie and Gold Rush on the same record. We get to go from like skimming the surface, like flirtation, like I'm in love or like daydream to RIP Granny. Gone too soon.
Well, yes.
That's a lot. But I wouldn't say, I think a critique that we've, not even a critique, but a comment we've shared about Evermore before is that it's not as focused as something like Folklore is. But even Folklore, I think, is focused in mood. It's not necessarily focused in emotion. Like there isn't like one clear kind of emotional line that goes all the way through. So I was like, now how can we be doing that? So I wanted to zero in on a thread that comes up on Folklore and Evermore, desolation. You know, Evermore reassures us. She says, you know, this pain wouldn't be for Evermore, but what if it was? What if it was? What if that pain was for Evermore? Because sometimes it is, okay? And sometimes you need to be in pain for Evermore. So what would that look like and what would that sound like? And also, yes, I mean, it was just born from the idea of The Prophecy. So entry points I found were really hard to find. Like the beginning and the end, I don't know about you. Did you find this too when you were doing your track list? Like the beginning and the last, I was like, oh my God, how?
Yeah, so it kind of gave me a moment of like, not relating, but empathizing with Taylor about her hard journey of having to pick an opening track and a closing track. Because picking my own was again, Sophie's choice. How do I set the scene? How do I put my bookends up? So I said, Taylor, I'm going to let you rock from here on out. And I won't.
You can really tell when she eeny, meeny, miny, moes it and when it's intentional. Midnights and Torture Poets, for example, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Like, literally, where the hell are we going with that? So I was like, we can't be all too welling at the first start beginning. Like, we just can't be going straight into that. So I have to set the scene somehow with only 13 songs. I need to be very judicious about how it is created. So guess where I started? With Midnights, the queen of unsureness and ambient anxiety. And my opening track is, I mean, keep in mind, it's called The First Snow Without Him, is Snow on the Beach, featuring more Lana Del Rey. But of course, it's a stressful song. As I was re-listening to it over and over, I was like, this is not comforting. It's about being powerless to someone and not knowing if something can work. It's like the grown-up version of Treacherous. And I actually had to eject Treacherous from the track list because Snow on the Beach is more sad. Treacherous is kind of hopeful. This slope is treacherous and I like it. Snow on the Beach, girl, it's coming down. It's all around. I can't bear to dream it.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I'm seeing the vision. Well, we had already kind of had this conversation when we did our Midnights Revisited. Snow on the Beach pretends like it's some happy, sappy Christmas love song. We know the truth. We know
but
the
really,
truth.
It's the story of tortured poets before tortured poets even existed.
Exactly.
That's the gag
down
of
bad
it all.
Part one. Down bad part
so
one.
So then I had to go into another moment on Midnights that I think foreshadowed tortured poets a little bit. My second track is Sweet Nothing. Because again, this is just a harbinger of doom. This was played before the first wave of the tsunami came in. This was played before the bomb got dropped on Pearl Harbor. This was played before the volcano burst and buried the people of Pompeii. I mean, you would know, Madeline, you were there.
I would know. I was there physically at Pompeii. You know, what was that? 20 AD. And I rocked, frankly.
You were going, ah, I mean, before you were cased in ash.
Period.
And we revived you to do this podcast today. Thank you so much for getting off your ass and working. But yeah, so that's where you get it. You understand. Snow on the Beach into Sweet Nothing, blah, blah, blah. After that, I have Renegade, because Renegade is like a Folk Evermore song and it was not placed on an album. So I was like, it needs to go here somewhere, but it's also a warning. It's not really a happy song. Can you please get your shit together so that I can love you? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm losing my patience here and I need you to get your ass up and work. And I think that this song and the next song are the most Evermore songs, I think. So Renegade goes into The Bolter. And might I just tell you that the transition from those two songs is crazy. You want to listen to them back to back. It is a good feeling. And I don't think you can have a third sister album without having a little bit of fiction here. It was so essential to the success of the project. And The Bolter is also about Taylor's need to midnight rain, which conflicts with her other desire for everlasting love. So hence my positioning of it at track four before track five. Before I tell you this, Madeline, did you stick to the track five thing in your track list or no?
You know what? Let's look and see if I did on accident, because I didn't do it on purpose.
Right. I felt very restricted because I was like opening, closing, and track five. I have to be very strict about how this story is going to flow.
It kind of just happened that way, incidentally. Okay. You see, that's the magic of the track five. Even when you don't do it on purpose, it just happens.
It becomes.
That's crazy.
It becomes. Yeah. So I was like, for this track five, if we're doing like the greatest hits of Taylor's most terribly sad songs, like what the hell am I going to pick here? And I couldn't go with an original track five because I was like, you know, we've been doing that before. So I decided to pick How Did It End? Because How Did It End is the Sim trapped in the room with no doors. She's like, I don't get it. I don't understand how this ended. Everyone else can see that it's over, but like, I have no idea what happened. And it has really been growing on me. I listened to the live version of it again. It
goes fucking crazy. I love that version of it. I could watch that video over and over again, especially the bridge. The emotion in the voice
is better than the recorded studio version.
When she does the, I'm like, oh my God, how did it end?
It's happening.
I still don't know.
It's happening.
We still don't know.
And there's like such a pacing and a momentum to that song that definitely went over my head when I first listened to the anthology, because I was like, get me out of here. I was like, this, I can't no more. This, I'm scared. But I'm not scared anymore. I'm here and I'm ready to say that How Did It End?
We're
best
brave.
Song ever made. I'm brave. So that's my track five. And then, because I think we're in a moment of confusion now, you know, how did it end? We're not clear. We don't know what the hell is going on. So I followed it up with the answer to How Did It End, which is So Long, London. That is my track six.
Ooh.
I'm pissed off that Regina. I gave you all that youth for free. And after this point, I felt very sure about all of this because it was all later Taylor, right? Like this is pretty much I just Evermore onwards. So I was like, I need to have an old school moment here. And I really had to shoehorn something in. And so after So Long London, I have Back to December because the album's called The First Snow Without Him. It would be rude not
it
to.
It would be rude. We have to include her. We have to go back rude. To December. No, I support it.
One of our only songs that like directly really references a season. It has to be there. But also Back to December is about it's never really over. So even if you decide it, you still have moments of like, if you're the catalyst of the breakup, you still have moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done the bolter on you. Like it's me. I'm the problem. Like I'm really sorry, girls. But however, what's past is past. And you cannot undo the past. So after Back to December, she's making her desperate plea. If the chain is on your door, I understand. The chain's on. It's not coming off. We're going into The Black Dog. And she is sitting there thinking, pleak, pleak, let me apologize. And all of a sudden it goes, now hang on. I might be sad, but I'm also pissed. And I hope it's shitty where you are. And I just can't quite believe it because The Black Dog is such a good song to me because it's like equal parts angry and also like melancholic and sad. It's a very vulnerable anger because when you're angry you don't want someone to know that you care, but you do because you're angry. So that's kind of where I was going with that. And this next run I kind of imagine all in the same place, like in a chair overlooking the skyline in her house. Following The Black Dog is I Almost Do, and I really see these songs as existing in the same universe because one follows the other. Like it's sitting in a dark room staring at your phone, you're tracking his location to The Black Dog, and then you're really being like, don't text him, don't text him, don't text him, don't call him. I almost do, but I won't. I'm going to let him live. So that's track nine. And then we get into track 10, which is after I Almost Do, LOML. This is the sleep paralysis demon. This is, I put my phone away, I'm going to bed, but I just don't know if I will be able to sleep because of the dancing phantoms on the terrace terrorizing me and keeping me up at night. This is, also I saw some deranged connections here. The Black Dog, I Want to Sell My House, and I Almost Do, This Time of Night, You're Still Up. I'm just getting visions of her in the same place, fretting over these things over and over by herself in her apartment. But this is the ultimate KMS song. Like it really is so sad. The more I listen to it, the more I'm like, how did you ever stop feeling like that? Which is why I think it belonged on this record. So after that, you know, this is how the winter progresses, I guess. It's chilly and a little bit ominous at the start. We have Snow on the Beach, we have Sweet Nothing, we have Renegade, we have The Bolter. And then it's bitter and it's freezing and everything dies. And it's all dead now, girls. We are at the point where the trees are bare, nobody's going outside, there's a blizzard. And then I get into Better Man because fuck, you just could have been the one if you were a better man, you rat. You literally, if you had got your ass up and been a better man, then you would have been the one. And after that, we have our final two tracks. Now, this was difficult for me to do. Number 12, we must regret and feel robbed of something, you know, that we'll never get back. That's how we must feel after we listen to Better Man. So what do I follow it up with? But would have, could have, should have. Give me back my girlhood. It was mine first. And after that, she's reeling. But it gets to a point in a breakup, in a really bad breakup, where you realize that it's not about the person anymore. Like the person is gone. They've been gone. You're used to them being gone. It's about you. It's about how am I responding to this? Why can't I pull myself out of this? And so, oh no, it's happening again. We end with The Prophecy.
That was a story from start to finish, baby. That was a novel, please. No, I'm seeing the vision. And you know what I'm seeing most of all is that your album is like really dynamic. Like you were pulling from all different kinds of places. Mine's not really that dynamic. You were saying, I'm going back to December. I'm saying Better Man. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. We're going The Bolter. And I was like, oh, so you made like a real album. Meanwhile, I'm over here at the fucking cauldron, essentially.
Still at the restaurant. Well,
at the restaurant. I'm at the
We have been waiting for a witchcraft theme, and I feel like you have always been talking about how a lot of your favorite Taylor Swift songs are witchy. And Taylor, I think, also loves her witchy songs, but for whatever reason doesn't lean into it that much. So I'm very curious to hear what your interpretation. You could even just call this record witchcraft.
Well, I one of my working titles was actually Bewitched, but I couldn't take it because there's another queen out there who has a record called Bewitched.
She made a perfect record.
In that moment, I was feeling angry about it. And I was saying, why did you take the most perfect word? But I'm going to let her cook. And then I'm gonna let her rock.
You bewitch me. And you're like, okay.
Exactly. No, I had to let her keep bewitched. So here's some just reiteration before we get into my track list about where I'm thinking. So I'm talking about the ocean, and obviously that's gonna involve a lot of like female rage, really, because I think the ocean is probably like the best natural exemplifier of like what female rage would look like if it was like a natural disaster. I think that the ocean is like, it's loud, but it's quiet too. And it's also like, it builds and it like takes in and then it pulls and then mm-hmm. it pushes back out. It's connected to the moon. The moon mm-hmm. is a very big focal point. That's why mine kind of looks like midnights. And that's why I went blue. Because I want it to be nighttime, and I want it to be moon, and I want it to be the tides. But I realized that there's another girl in the lexicon who has a moon, but she's not the only one who gets to use the moon. I would just like to say that. The moon is available to all at any given time. And this is the coven. And I think I need to use the moon.
The moon is a democratic people's resource.
It is. It is the democratic. You know in Parks and Rec when they do the mock model UN? And April's mm-hmm. the moon. That's what exactly mm-hmm. what it is. It's a republic of the moon. Okay, so this, for the record, this is what the cover of my Taylor Blair Witch Swift playlist is. Snoopy cooking up some alchemy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You better believe it.
Period.
So I already told you guys my opening track is The Prophecy, because what the scene that I'm setting for you here is a scene of a girl who has given up. Or has she? A greater woman wouldn't beg. But I looked to the sky and I said, there's a bitterness there. But can it be sweetened? And then we go, this is funny because you put this in the exact opposite end of your track list. This is actually weird. My second one is would have, could have, should have, because it's like exactly opposite of yours. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. I mean, we're constantly surprised by the fact that we who talk all the time have similar opinions.
And yet it makes perfect sense to me. It's just like the exact reverse opposite. The prophecy into would have, could have, should have. She's saying, I'm lamenting, I'm begging, I'm going to the sorcerer's table. I really need some man to come in, or anybody to come in and do this, that, or the other thing and help me out of my situation. I want a soulmate, period. That's all there is to it. And then she's thinking in her mind, you know what? Actually, I'm mad as hell. Because I've gone through all these different situations with all these different men, M-E-N, men, and I give me back my girlhood. It was mine first because I've spent so much of myself already on these men who just were not worth the effort, essentially. I'm in the ocean, and I'm mad as hell. This is what you need to be picturing, okay? Mm-hmm. This is where we're at on the track list right now. Then we go into number three. I can fix him. No, really, I can.
Okay.
So we're going back and forth. We're going back and forth.
I'm seeing the vision.
We're going back and forth.
Ping pong.
She's saying, hold on. Here's another guy who's entered the equation. Could he be the one? Could this be the guy? I could fix him. No, really, mm-hmm. I can. I know that he's kind of like just like every other guy I've ever been with. And also everybody hates him. And he's the absolute despicable talk of the town. But maybe I can make this work. And then from there, we go into the albatross. She's saying, I'm the albatross and I can save you from all these, you know, gossipers and fearmongers who are telling you that I'm bad and you're bad. Actually, we're perfect together. But then you know what happens in track five? Hoax. It was all a lie. It was all a lie. It was all a lie. Everything was a fraud. Everything was a fraud. Your faithless hoax, your faithless love is the only hoax that I believe in. Hoax is the perfect song about betrayal. Hoax to me is, honestly, it's probably one of the most perfect track fives in all existence, even though it isn't a track five. But it's also a very fascinating, if you don't count the lakes, it's a really, really fascinating closing track. But obviously, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about her as a track five. I put her here after this moment where she thinks, I can finally have this, you know, I can finally have my love, somebody who finally understands me and like, this is going to be my soulmate. Because the misery and like the sense of total hopelessness and hoax is like, this is like the final straw now, you know, like this isn't the first time this has happened. And now I'm on the cliff's edge and I'm like, why does this keep happening? It's kind of like the prophecy in a lot of ways, but like the way, way more sad version of the prophecy. Like this is the moment of giving up on the album. So from that moment of giving up, we go into I Look in People's Windows. I'm reflecting. Now I'm thinking about all these people that I've lost. And I'm not really thinking about finding anybody else. I'm kind of living in my own misery and in my own memory, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then we're living in the misery. What happens naturally when you're living in the misery for too long? We get mad as hell. Who's afraid of little old me?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's a real, she's an outlier. I almost took her off because she's a little, look what, it was between her and Look What You Made Me Do. But Look What You Made Me Do is so specific. Look, and I was too, like, you know,
it's too pop.
I got to go with the broad girl. And I got to go with the girl who's giving rage in such a pure way. And in a way that's totally unadulterated by drama and receipts and mess, if you will. So I go into Who's Afraid of Little Old Me directly into Mad Woman. I'm like, listen, we're going to go on a spree. No, this is a killing spree.
It's a killing spree.
She's in her slasher. This is like her slasher moment. She's putting the mask on. She's getting her knife out. She's like, I'm going to start killing people at will because I've had enough of this shit now.
Many people on the list.
From Mad Woman directly into Cassandra. She's still killing. She's still going. Slashing throats, cutting people's hands off. No fingers for you, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, and you could argue that this is here only because I wanted it to be, but maybe there's a reason it's there. We're not sure about that. Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Why?
I thought you were going to say ready for it. And I was like, now Madeline.
No. I wish, honestly, that would have been really, that would have been me taking the piss because that would have made no sense whatsoever.
This makes sense. It does.
Thematically, I think also like tonally, the vibes, like it totally fits. Chloe or Sam isn't like, a lot of these songs aren't like, she's a witch, but there's like kind of a mysterious, forlorn cabin, you know, like the cabin and candlelight version of Cardigan, that kind of a vibe. I think Chloe or Sam definitely has that. It has a very, this was written by candlelight kind of a vibe to it. It's kind of like in Practical Magic when Sandra Bullock is writing her letter about the moon. That's what Chloe or Sam is giving.
I agree.
So I put it after Cassandra, again, because I wanted it to be on the track list.
What track number are we at now?
So we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, track 10. That's my lucky number. Again, completely by coincidence.
And it's Chloe or Sam.
And it's Chloe or Sam. Well, there you go. So Chloe or Sam, the killing has ended. We're not going to kill anymore. We're calming down. We're reflecting. You know, the moon has let the tide go back out or vice versa. I actually don't know how it works. I know
it does. The blood soaked gown is over.
The blood soaked gown, we're taking it off. We're drowning in a heap. And she's saying to herself, you know what? I do want to be loved. I do. I'm not going to be a weird little freak that stalks the night, killing, hunting for people to kill anymore. I do want to be loved. So we're coming back around. It's very cyclical, you know? It's like very, and I think the prophecy as an opening track really makes sense in that way because it's like the prophecy is kind of cyclical to me. It's like it's never going to happen, but there's also this, but I need it to and I really want it to and maybe it could really happen.
It's a governing principle.
Period. So then we go from Chloe or Sam. This is the oldest song on the track list and it's the one that I think makes the most sense, especially where I put it. Safe and Sound. Hunger Games soundtrack song. Well, yes, Safe and Sound.
You've done your killing.
So
now close your eyes, Mama, and have a glass of milk.
And you know, there's something very the albatross coded. There's something very sisterly about the albatross and Safe and Sound. It's this like I no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, I will protect you. And obviously, there's like Hunger Games connotations to that. But even if you take all that context away from it, it's just like a very beautiful love song about like everything is really, really scary right now. And I don't really know what's going to happen. But as long as you and me have one another, I think that we're going to be okay. So she's reflecting on this past love that she had. She says, will I always wonder? Well, no. Because the question has been answered. Was it answered on the main at the actual record? Well, no. But I'm going to answer the question today on my record. So we go Safe and Sound. From there, this is kind of an outlier, but again, it's my album. I can do whatever I want. So it goes. Listen, it makes sense.
We go.
All eyes on me, your illusionist.
We go from slashing and burning tires and
it makes sense.
Slitting our wrists to shaking our ass.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that just we should have that conversation. Well, you'll notice in my Pinterest at the very top, so kind of like the ending, the first picture you see in my Pinterest is actually what I think the album cover is going to be in my vision. And then the last two pictures are from The Truman Show at the end of the movie when he's discovered that he's in a TV show and he's on a set and he rides his little boat to the end of the ocean and he finds it's a set and it's like a wall and he has a door that he can open and he leaves and he's not on the show anymore. And there's something so like similar about like being a public figure and like having your relationships publicized to like the what the Truman Show is about, and not being able to like, it feels like everybody else is deciding what your relationships are going to be, and everybody has like an opinion on it, and they're all forcing you or saying that you should be with this person or not. So that's why I put that one on there. And like, I think that like this Female Rage album, you know, the slashing, the killing, this, that, and the other thing is really about feeling like she can never really be with who she wants to be with because of any number of reasons, whether because people say she can't be with them or because she feels like she can't because that person is never going to be able to live her life in her life, in the grand spectacle that it is. So that's kind of why I put the Truman Show there. And that's also why I put Willow at the end of the track list. The closing track is Willow. Hey, that's my man. And that's how we end the album.
That's so true. Are I was waiting for Willow to show up. I was like, you're not going to do a witchcraft album without Willow. Surely.
From the prophecy to Willow, are you seeing my vision?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm seeing really the vision. I was galaxy brained. So now you see why this is kind of like the reputation of Folk Levermore. It's an angry album. It's very concerned with things.
But it's a secret love story.
Right. But it's a secret love story. And it ends on the love story, just like we end on New Year's Day on Reputation, and call it what you want as well. The pipeline between The Prophecy and Willow has been keeping me up at night ever since I thought of it. I was like, hold on. There's something there.
I love this concept. The only thing is, I feel like my listen through of it would be jarred by a So It Goes interlude. I understand that it had to be there.
But we have to have the sucking and fucking.
It's a world stop moment.
It's the diva. It's kind of like she just put her heels on and she's, you know, she's in love. Let's go to the bar. Let's go to the cocktail
club. Does she have a song that's like a sexy song that is like more down tempo, that has like a So It Goes vibe, but isn't like scratching?
To tell you the truth, you know, one of the songs that I removed was Dress.
That would be better choice. Even I'm Gonna Get You Back, because there's been conflict. I wonder if that would fit there.
So It Goes, baby. See you in the dark.
1, 2, 3, says Madeline.
But you know what else I removed?
It's your album, girl. You put what you need to put on it.
I did. And I had to pull Ivy off, and that killed me. Because it is like one of her witchier songs. But the thing is that like it's so earth and it's so like fire and snow. It just wasn't the right, you know what I mean? It wasn't the right tone. And I also cut This Love, because This Love is probably her most like oceanic kind of song. It's very like driftwood-esque, but it just wasn't right tonally. So I cut her as well. I'm happy
with that. You could actually even make a driftwood album based off of the vibe of This Love alone. That would be an interesting thing
to do.
Absolutely.
The Enya of it all, girls. The Enya of it all.
There are many songs that actually fit that kind of like, I guess, I don't, it's kind of what Lorde wanted to do with Solar Power. That, like, la la la. That, like,
wanted
drifty
is the key
energy.
Word there. Yeah.
Yeah, wanted really is the energy there. There's a settledness and a relaxed, almost sedate nature to that song that I think is interesting. But I think we did great jobs.
I think we deserve all of the acclaim and recognition for what we just did.
For the task we made up for ourselves.
We made it up for ourselves. Nobody asked us to do it. We did it on our own terms. Mm-mm. We did it on our own time. I had a really good time doing it. I think that we should be added to the creative team, and I don't understand why we haven't been called.
Put us at the board with all the white men. Just let us
put
consult
us at the board with
for
all
a
the men.
Second. Mm-hmm. We would stop you from making mistakes. We really would, such as Fortnite. That wouldn't have made it past the workshop floor.
It came
not
on the radio
single,
the other day.
And not as the opening track.
And I got
track.
So upset. I was like, I cannot believe this is what people think Torture Poets is like.
No
like
wonder they have
about.
No idea what it's about.
No
wonder they have
no
idea.
No wonder they have no clue what it's about.
They
really
were misled.
Like. I'm telling you, my tin hat theory that Down Bad should have been the lead single, and it makes perfect sense.
That's not
and
a tin hat theory.
And it makes perfect
that's
sense.
That's a real thing that should have happened
that's
in this world.
That's a real thing that should have happened. And I'm asking every day, why? Where's
why,
my music video?
Why? It also was such a clear early streamer, too, that I'm like, why didn't we quickly follow it up?
That bridge, I was listening to it last night, my New Year's Eve, Down Bad streaming.
And we're never
going
to get
Eve.
To hear it live because she hates us. I'm wondering, you know, Ariana did these live sessions for Eternal Sunshine on YouTube. I'm like, Taylor, just do that.
Ooh,
do seven songs for
totally
Torture
agree.
Poets live, please.
Oh, it's kind of like what she did with Folklore Long Pond Sessions before the Eras Tour was even a thought in her brain. She knew
Give
that.
It.
But where's my Evermore Long Pond Studio Sessions? Where's my B-sides from Midnights? There are some songs from Midnights that we deserve a recorded performance from.
If we're going that far back, give me the Red Tour DVD while we're at it.
While if we're just we're looking for things that we've been owed,
if we're searching the vault, you don't want to go there with us, Taylor. That. We can be the debt collectors at the decision table. Yep. It's time now. You need to give the Evermore Long Pond Studio Session. It's been too long. If you had to pick a song from this record to, like, you know how Folk Evermore only really had like one song as a single, and supposing this song came out before the record came out, so it was giving everyone a vibe, what would your lead single be?
Now let's see, is there a banger in here? Well, we have So It Goes, but I don't think she's lead single material.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a banger. That would it doesn't be have to a be banger switch. It just has to represent the album.
Okay, I'm saying The Prophecy. I'm going with The Prophecy. And I think that people would respond to The Prophecy. I think there's something there. I mean, Rob Sheffield, noted journalist.
Idiot.
Noted.
Nothing.
Noted journalist. Named it as the best song of 2024. Is he right? I don't think so. Oh. He's allowed to say that's his favorite Taylor Swift song of the year.
Best song of 2024?
Yes, that is the Rolling Stone.
Of all songs or just of all Taylor Swift songs?
I want to say it's of all songs, but I could be wrong about that.
That is crazy. That's a crazy take if so. But, you know, I would expect nothing less from the likes of him.
It's a crazy take even if we're just talking about best Torture Poets song.
It is, unfortunately.
You have to confess.
And I love that song. I love it. And
I mean, we're streaming it. It's number one on my album, but
it's number 13.
I think there were some other girls there.
We're real.
I think there were some other girls there.
So you would pick
The Prophecy.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me.
As I'm saying, it's not the best song. It's
not the best song. That I hate it.
Well, it's not the song ever made. It's not the best song from Torture Poets, but maybe it could be the best representative of my album. And it follows a theme because Taylor kept it in the early stages of the album. Cardigan, single, track two.
Right.
Willow, single, track one.
Mm-hmm.
Introductory.
I'm kind of torn with mine. On the one hand, I'm like, Snow on the Beach, I think, is kind of a mission statement for being curious about what the album would lead to because it's the opening moment. But I kind of think I would do The Black Dog, actually, because I think The Black Dog has all the feelings that are encapsulated on the record. And also there's something, the Black Dog production-wise really elevates it so much.
Mm, I agree. I love the bridge, especially, and also the boom, boom, boom,
yes,
boom.
So good.
We needed
Mouth
that.
Kissy,
we needed
Jack
that in London.
Off.
We needed the drums
we got
to come
it.
Out.
And
you
we
have
got
the
it.
Drums, so let's hit them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're on stage.
She doesn't always do that, but when she does.
When she does, let me tell you.
Do you think she would ever do like a third sister album in the future?
As part of the Folk Evermore trilogy, I don't think so. No, I definitely don't
I
think
agree.
So because I think that ship has sailed and we've moved on. I think if she tried to return to that, it would seem kind of strange. And also like she's not really, I know this is ironic because I'm saying this in the shadow of the Eras tour, but in general, she's not a going backwards kind of a person. She's
well,
not
this is
really
the first
saying.
Time. The first
yeah,
and only
the,
time she's been really referential like that.
Yeah. So I think that would be kind of strange, and I don't think that she would do that. I think it's over. If it wasn't Torture Poets, it's not going to be anything. So there you
Her
go.
Her natural inclination is to start over anyway, so I'm kind of excited for what that's going to look like. And Tortured Poets tied up a lot of loose ends for us. So whatever comes next, I'm seated, and I fear for it, and I also fear that we're not going to get it ever in a long time. I can't wait another year for new music. I can't. I don't want to. I've been spoiled.
No,
you've
we're
broken
spoiled.
My brain.
We're very spoiled. We're kind of like those young fans who never had to do like the 2-year album cycles. And it's like, where's my TV? Mm-hmm. Where's my TV? I need my
Where
TV
my
dinner.
TV, like,
I need
on
my
serious,
TV dinner.
On a serious note, like Reputation, at least give that to us, please. Give us Debutation.
Well, I just
at the
think
very
that we
minimum.
Put in the work. And we've put in the hours. And we deserve
we've banged
to reap
our drum.
The rewards. We've been
bang, bang, bang. Let
all
us
day
in.
Long. Let me have
we
Reputation TV. Pleak. I deserve it, I think. All the comments are going to be like,
I deserve it, I think.
You don't deserve anything.
You don't deserve
Stop
it. You're a rat.
Taylor.
Everybody hates you.
This, that, and the other thing. You know, you're not allowed to make jokes. Don't you know that?
You're not. You should
you're
know
not.
That. You're not.
I apologize ahead of time. I shouldn't have said
well,
that.
Well, I think that's all we have for you today in this special episode of Evolution of a Snake. Don't forget to go to evolutionofasnake.com and get your tickets to see the Snaras tour. We're going to New York City, Boston, DC, Chicago, Madison, Atlanta, Nashville, LA, Seattle, San Francisco. See you there. Okay. We better be seeing you. We will be seeing you there. Thank you. I just realized we need to record another part to insert at the beginning that says that because I forgot to say it at the beginning.
Okay.
No problem. Before we get into today's episode, we have to let you know that tickets to the Snares Tour, our first national tour of the United States as a podcast, are on sale right now. You can come and see us in New York, Boston, DC, LA, Nashville, Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, Madison, Wisconsin. We are going to all of the places and we need to be seeing you there. We have a low ticket warning in DC, New York City, and LA. So go get your tickets. Come one, come all. It's happening again. Evolutionofasnake.com. Period.